Bibles this evening to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we're going to read one verse. Verse 25. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. I want to preach a message entitled Experiencing Eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that You would bless this Word tonight. That You would open hearts. That You might be pleased to bring eternal life to some precious soul. That they might be broken and undone and then healed by the grace of God, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the working of Thy Holy Spirit. O Lord, I pray that You might do a mighty work. And then I pray for Your people, those of us that are saved, that we would realize that we have eternal life here and now. And we need to learn to experience the glories of our union with Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. We are a poor and a needy people. Work in us both to will and to do of Your good pleasure. Give us strength from above that we might go from this place and that we would make a difference in a world of darkness and depravity and ungodliness, that we might have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, the gospel on our lips, and a testimony that shows others that You are in us of a truth. Lord, we love You tonight. And we thank You for loving us first. I just pray that You'd give us grace to love You more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deuteronomy is a book of review, and Moses is recounting the events associated with sending the 12 tribes, or the 12 spies, to view, explore, and report on what they had experienced in the promised land. The land that God told them that He was going to give them, a gift of His grace. And it was a land flowing with milk and honey, and they brought back the fruit of the land. And the way that they described it is they had a guy here and one back there, and they had a big branch, and they were carrying this huge bunch of grapes. And I wonder what must have went through their minds when they brought back the fruit of the land and they beheld it and they tasted it. How it must have thrilled their souls. Now I believe that the promised land is really a type or a picture of the victorious Christian life. Because they did, when they got into the promised land, they didn't just lay around on a cloud and eat grapes. They had to eliminate and purge the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and all the otherites. They were engaged in spiritual warfare. And God wrought many victories. And even at the end of His days, you'll remember that Joshua told the children of Israel As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They were always pressing forward for victory. Now with that said, I want to make an application tonight and apply this verse to experiencing the joys of eternity spent in the presence of the Lord. Now bear with me. Think about this. The spies brought back some of the fruit of the land so that the people could see and taste what was in that fair land. When they viewed those grapes of Eshcol, they must have understood that the land that God had promised them was fertile and fruitful and abundant. You know, every child of God, if you're truly saved, you long for the joys of the heavenly life. And I fear that we often rob ourselves of tremendous blessings because we fail to taste of the fruit of eternity here and now. We have a gracious and a blessed hope that we're to anticipate and look forward to with a holy expectation. We ought to learn how to experience eternity here and now by partaking of the fruits of glory. I want to ask a question. How does eternity come to fallen man? Now think about that for a minute. We're all sinners by birth and by choice. David made it clear, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forth as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Every one of us are sinners. We are in no way, shape, or form prepared or fit for eternity in our natural state, the way that we came in to this world. We are not ready to experience eternity. We're dead in trespass and in sin. We had no spiritual life in our natural state. Totally unprepared, totally unfit for the glories of heaven and the heavenly life. The Bible says that the carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. See, you were only born with one nature. It was a nature you received from your parents, and in the Bible it's called the flesh. Jesus said, "The flesh profiteth nothing. It never will, it never has, and it never shall profit anything." The flesh can never rise above itself and do anything that is spiritual or holy or pure. It is completely, entirely dead, depraved, and wicked. We weren't fit for eternity. We weren't fit for glory. Now here's the thing. If you're lost here tonight, you think about this. If you die in your sins, you won't experience eternity until you die. The wages of sin is death. But not so with the child of God. You see, the fruit of eternal life was brought down to us by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. He gave us life. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. He created spiritual life within us. And for the very first time in our lives, we were able to believe the gospel. He gave us life. And at that very moment, I don't believe that there is any time sequence between regeneration and conversion. I believe that the Holy Spirit gives you life and immediately the gifts of repentance and faith are exercised. When He brings you to life, you see what you are, what you need, you repent and you believe. You turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And at that very moment, you begin to experience eternity. That very moment. How amazing is that? That fruit of eternal life is brought down. Isn't that what it says, and they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us. The Bible says in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You see, if you're saved by the grace of God tonight, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You've tasted of the fruit of eternal life. Think about this. What is the fruit of the Spirit? One of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. You know what? That means it's produced by the Spirit. You don't naturally possess saving faith. It has to be produced in you by the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives you the gift of faith. And you experience eternity. When He brings it down to you, the Bible says this in 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Listen, I've been experiencing eternity for 34 years. I don't have to wait till I die to get it. I've got it right now. And tonight, if God is pleased to open your eyes and open your heart and bring you to where you are broken and you are brought to an end of yourself to see Christ crucified, buried, risen again for you. If He brings you to that place tonight, you are going to experience eternity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, notice this, but have everlasting life. I don't have to wait to get it. I already got it. He brought it down. How amazing is it that the great God of heaven, the owner of all things, the creator of the ends of the earth, the one who's sustaining all things by the word of His power, would bring this fruit down to poor sinners who were unworthy, who were dead, who are filthy in their wretchedness. And yet, He imparts to them eternal life in Jesus Christ. There's no one as gracious as our God. We began to experience eternity the very moment that Christ came into our lives and gave us eternal life. Now you'll notice something else. In our text it says, and they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again. By the way, once you've partaken of the fruit, you're going to start taking the word out everywhere. You're not going to believe this fruit. It is the most wondrous, glorious thing to taste that the Lord is gracious, to have the gift of eternal life imparted to you, it ought to be the theme of our conversation each and every day. I got eternal life. I'm experiencing eternity. I'm not just going to heaven. I, right now, am in divine union with the living Christ. But it says there, they said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. This is the amazing thing. It sets Christianity apart from every false religion. Every other religion is based on man's performance, his works, his ability to obey or keep certain rules. And Christianity comes to us freely through the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's the one religion that says you can't look to yourself. You've got to look outside of yourself to Jesus Christ. Behold, the first day when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Look to Him. We enjoy and partake of eternal life in Christ as a free, unmerited gift that flows from God's inexhaustible treasury of grace. It never runs out. The Bible says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We don't have to wait till we die physically to enjoy the blessed fruits of eternal life. We possess the seeds of eternity now, and we will experience the full flower of eternity in the life to come. He's implanted in us a new man. One day, we're going to be done forever with the old man. We're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be like Him. But right now, we have eternal life. Now I got another question. What are some characteristics of experiencing eternity? What do you think of when you think of eternal life? Well, when I think of the glories of the heavenly land, I think of security. There'll be no fear of falling, slipping, tripping, or losing our salvation. We'll be forever safe, secure, as we bask in the presence of our Lord. And once you get to heaven, there's not going to be any change. God's not going to somehow change His mind and say, "You know what? I made a mistake. You're not supposed to be here. You don't have reservations. Your ticket was not paid for." No. You get to heaven, you're secure forevermore. And I want you to understand that if you are chosen by the Father, redeemed by the blood of the Son, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you can enjoy the security of eternal life right now. In fact, if God gives you eternal life, that's what it means. I remember one time I was out visiting, I ran across a guy, and he believed you could lose your salvation. And so I started reading Romans chapter 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Oh, he liked that. And then when I got to the next verse, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then I went on and said that it ends with nothing. He gives every conceivable thing. Life, death, angels, principalities, powers, you name it. And He said, nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. We're more than conquerors through... Well, I didn't explain anything. All I was doing was reading the Bible, and I got about 3/4 of the way down, and He said, hey, I don't believe that. I said, what are you talking about? I said, all I'm doing is reading the Bible. I haven't even commented. I haven't even made my case yet. All I'm doing is reading what the Scripture said. And He said, I don't like the way you're reading it. I don't believe it the way you're reading it. But you know what? Because eternal life comes from God, you're absolutely secure. Right here, right now. If you are truly born of God, you have all the promises of the infallible, inerrant Word of God to feed upon. We are preserved in Christ. We ought to persevere in Him as well. It is a truth of Scripture. I don't believe for one moment that I'll ever lose my salvation. I am secure. I have eternal life. And it's not based on anything that I have ever done or ever will do. God's love for me will never diminish or increase. He loves me by virtue of my union in His Son. He bought me. He purchased me with His own blood. Who's powerful enough to steal me away from Him? I belong to Him. The Bible says this in Jude verse 24, now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. That means so shall it be. I'm secure in Jesus Christ. You know what else Jesus said? My sheep hear My voice. You know when they hear His voice? In the effectual call. When He draws them out of darkness into His marvelous light. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. That very moment. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. That's how secure I am. I have eternal life. I am in Jesus Christ. I have all the promises of God. Yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I'm kept by the power of God. I've got eternal life right now. And I'll never lose it. Because it didn't come from man. Man is finite. Man is of temporal nature. He has a beginning physically and He has an end. God is infinite. He's eternal. And when He saves you, He imparts to you the very quality of eternal life. You become a partaker of the divine nature, the Bible says. You have a new man, which is created after the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. That's security. When I think of the joys of eternity and the glories of heaven, I think about a state of perpetual rest. All the toils and troubles of life will be over. I look at my life, I've been so fortunate. None of my children have ever spent a night in the hospital other than when they were born. That's a blessing. And it's God's grace. I'm so thankful for that. But I've drank from the cup of trial and affliction in my life. I know what it is. But you know what? When eternity is imparted to us in Christ, I hope you understand there is a real sense in which we enter in to His rest at that very moment. We cease from our own works and we completely rest in Him. See, that's the teaching of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. The very moment God gives you the grace to believe, you enter into His rest. How amazing is that? That our Christian life does not depend on our works even after we're saved. I'll tell you what, if you're trusting, if you have eternal life, if you're resting in Him, you can't help but want to serve the Lord. It'll show by the way you live. Your faith will be demonstrated by your works of righteousness. But by virtue of our inseparable union with the living Christ, we enter into His rest. Think about the times of Scripture where it says, Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I guarantee you, if you live long enough in the Christian life, you are going to have trials, disappointments, difficulties, hardships, adversity. And my advice to you is rest in the Lord. Wait patiently on Him. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the ability. Just rest in Him. You know, about every bad decision I've ever made since I've been saved is when I took things into my own hands. Instead of following what I preached on Monday night, trusting, or I don't think it was Monday night, it was Tuesday night, Wednesday night, I don't know. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Psalm 116 verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. No matter what trials or troubles may come our way, we can find rest and repose in the finished work of our great Savior. I look at it this way. No matter what happens, I'm saved. No matter what happens, I'm going to heaven. I've got a living relationship with Jesus Christ right now. He's my Lord. I've got all the promises of His Word. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. I'm abiding in Him. I'm walking with Him. And no matter, come what may, I'm resting in Him. I've put my life into His care. You know why? Because I know He knows a whole lot better than I do how to administrate my affairs. He knows the end from the beginning and everything in between. Rest in the Lord. The poet said, "There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast." You know, in reality, you don't have to wait for heaven to have peace. You can have it right now as you abide in Jesus Christ. One of the greatest joys of the eternal state, I think, will be uninterrupted service and labor in the will of God. Turn over with me to Revelation chapter 22. I long for the day when there is absolutely no division in my heart. When I am entirely sold out to just do exactly what God says. You ever heard people that say, "Well, if I believed in that security doctrine, well, I'd just go out and do whatever I want. If I believe I was eternally secure, why don't I just go out and commit adultery and go out drinking and do all..." You know, when people say that to me, I say, "Man, are you saved? I don't know anybody that's saved that wants to displease the Lord or dishonor God. They don't want to sin. They hate sin. They say, 'Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?' I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, when you're born again, you're changed forever. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." If that's never happened in your life, you've never been saved if you've never been changed. But I think one of the greatest joys of glory, the eternal state, is being in a perpetual state of service to God. Look what it says there, Revelation 22, verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him." The setting here is the eternal ages. "And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Have you ever thought about it? When your labor and service to Christ is perpetual, where doing the will of God is your normal activity each and every... Well, they can't even call it a day, because there'll be no night there. Just throughout all eternity, your greatest joy is to serve Him, to love Him, to honor Him. Man, to me, that's the apex of the glorified state. Think about this. We experience a portion of this eternal fruit here and now. When we faithfully serve the Lord, and when we labor in His vineyard, when we serve Him in sincerity and in truth, when we worship Him, listen, that is what we're supposed to be doing every day. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen. If this revival meeting has lit a fire in you and God's worked in you, you ought to go out of this place and say, I'm going to serve God with every fiber of my being. I have a desire to honor Him, to read His Word, to witness for Him, to worship Him, to be faithful in the Lord's church. Why can't we have that now? We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can have that attitude, that desire, that spirit right now. And that is the victorious Christian life. When we're serving. People sometimes will say, you know, you need to slow down. They'll say that to me. And I don't want to rust out. I want to wear out for the Lord with service to Him. I told this. You know how a preacher retires, don't you? I've done it several times. In fact, I'm thinking about retiring in November. You heard it here. You see, a preacher retires when he gets four new tires. And he gets right back out on the road and keeps on preaching, keeps on witnessing, keeps on encouraging and helping and rebuking if need be. That's how you retire. And I pray, like I said the other night, I pray that God gives me grace to preach until Jesus comes, or until the very moment that I die. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I hope that's the way it happens. Experiencing eternity will signal the ultimate triumph and victory. Is it real to you? You ever think about the time when you're going to see the Lord in all of His majesty, in all of His glory? You've heard Him preached about your whole life. You've read the Word. You've feasted on the promises. You've looked through a glass darkly. What's it going to be like when we take our place around the throne of God and all the saints of God are there? Everyone that Jesus Christ died for will be there, dressed in spotless white. And you know what? All the focus is going to be upon the glory of Christ. Nobody's going to be talking about themselves. It's going to be the ultimate victorious service. When all the blood-washed throng will lift up their voices in praise and adoration and say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who has redeemed us to God by His blood out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue." Man, that's going to be a time of wonderful triumph and victory when we bask in the light of the great Captain of our salvation, the One who has defeated all of our foes, the One who took away our sin, the One who conquered death on our behalf so that we would have life, the One who gave everything for us. We're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be like Him. Ultimate victory, ultimate triumph. You know, we don't have to wait to experience the joys of victory in Christ till we get there. We can do it here and now. You think about all the victories that God has wrought in your life. Start reviewing. Start looking over what God's done. Isn't it a victorious thing when He brings you out of a valley? When He brings you through a furnace? When He brings you out of those waters that seem like they were going to overwhelm you, but He sustained you? You remember you ventured out before like Peter did when the Lord said, come, and he started walking on the water. Everybody throws rocks at Peter, but humanly speaking, he was the world's greatest water walker for a time. Till he got his eyes on the things around him, the waves, and then he went down. But you know what? He said, Lord, save me, I perish. How many times has the Lord lifted you up? How many victories have you enjoyed? How many times have you seen people that you've witnessed to, prayed for, wept over, and you see them saved by the grace of God, and the joy bells begin to ring in your heart, and you're filled with glory? See, don't underestimate the victories here and now. They're all around us. We just got to see it. We got to understand we're experiencing eternal life right now. The fruit's here. Taste it. We don't have to wait for the eternal state to experience victory in Jesus. Another characteristic of experiencing the eternal state, this is another great one, will be the feeling of acceptance and compatibility with God and His people, His children, His family. You realize that there's coming a day when every barrier of sin and sorrow will be removed. When our entire being will be swallowed up in the glories and perfections of Christ and our union with Him, we will experience the fullness of His high priestly prayer. Think about what Jesus prayed over there in John chapter 17. Go over on over there. John chapter 17, look at verse 21. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. Now, read this. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them. They have it now. That they may be one even as We are one, I in them and Thou in Me. Now this is prospective, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given Me be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. One day this prayer is going to come to full fruition. It is partially already. But do we not experience a taste of this every time we really recognize what our position in Christ really is? Our standing really is? I've been legally declared not guilty. The righteousness of God has been imputed to me, charged to my account. Remember the verse I told you about this morning? Isaiah 51:6. I don't know if it was this morning. But it says, "My salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." You realize what your position is in Jesus Christ? You have the righteousness of God. The Bible says, I think it's like a hymn of praise in the New Testament. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein we are accepted in the Beloved." That's our position. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Hallelujah. I'm accepted in the Beloved. You can't. Sometimes people ask me how I'm doing, and a lot of times I'll say, much better than I deserve. Sometimes I'll say, I'm saved by the grace of God, and you can't get much better than that. I'm on my way to heaven. That's usually where it stops. How about Colossians 2, 9 and 10? "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power." Complete in Him. There is a compatibility with God. He's created in us a new nature. That's our standing. And isn't it a blessing when you come to God's house with like-minded believers and your hearts are knit together in love? You get away from the world and all that is therein, and you come together in unity. And there's a measure of compatibility and acceptance. I'll tell you, one of the greatest joys of my Christian life is having brothers and sisters that I'm compatible with, that love me, that I love. Yes, that's going to be true of all eternity, but you're experiencing a taste of it tonight. Don't underestimate just how powerful you being part of Christ's body, His church, really is. When we experience the glories of the eternal state, our eyes will be open to see sights of wonder. Our ears will hear the eternal praises of all the redeemed. We'll see our Lord. We'll see all the redeemed. We'll sing with voices of praise. Do we not experience these wondrous manifestations of eternity when we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth? The songwriter said, "Sweet the moments rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. Here I'll sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood, precious drops my soul bedewing, plead and claim my peace with God. What a joy it is to worship the Lord. It's a miracle of transformation. I can remember so vividly the day before I was saved, I had no desire. I saw no beauty in the glory of Christ. Then when I was saved, all I wanted to do was worship. I remember asking my brother-in-law, "Hey, is it normal for me to think about Jesus Christ all day long? I can't get this off my mind. It's amazing what He's done." Perhaps the greatest experience of eternity will be unbroken fellowship and communion with God. The flesh will be completely eliminated and will be glorified. Now, I can't give you that here. I have not experienced glorification. But I know it's coming. You know what could be tonight? The trump might sound tonight. Jesus Christ may come again. And He might say, "Tom Ross, come up hither!" Pew! "This corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. I'm going to be changed for all eternity. Until then, though, I am going to live in the realization that I'm saved, forgiven, in union with Christ, have an abundance of promises and truth. I'm going to worship. I'm going to witness. I'm going to serve because I love Him and because He loves me. I want to experience eternity now, right now." If you're lost here tonight, I'm going to tell you what, I've seen what it's like to be on the side of the world and in sin, and it's nothing when you get right down to it. It is misery. You have no hope. You're without God in the world, and you have nothing to look forward to. If you die in your sins, you're going to hell. But if God saves you, you have eternal life. Can you tonight just simply say, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in my house. You say, can you explain it more? Is there something more? No. No. "Whosoever will, let him come. Drink of the water of life freely." You come, and I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, it's not always going to be easy. But like I said, no matter come what may, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I think that's what emboldened the martyrs. They were able to face anything because they knew they were saved. They were experiencing eternity. And they had something to look forward to. Trust Him now. Let's all stand. Brother Wayne, you come ahead. And if the musicians will come. Brother Wayne, if you'll take over the services, please.